Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Tom Crean, one of my favorite people in the business, former head coach, men's basketball programs at Marquette, Indiana, Georgia, ESPN college basketball analyst, Westwood One college basketball analyst, and a guy worth following on Twitter. Literally, like, real wisdom that is on there if you follow him like I do. It's easy to find, at Tom Crean. Coach Tom, good morning. Thanks for making time, man. I'm glad to have you on again.
Absolutely, Bill. It's great to be with you. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. You know what? So, you know, we all take pride in the places we're from and sort of our backgrounds. I'm an Iowa kid. I'm from Dubuque, Iowa. I got married in Iowa. I didn't go to the University of Iowa. My parents did. So I felt, like a lot of people for a lot of different reasons, a certain connection to an affinity for Caitlin Clark in that Iowa run. What did you make, not just of her performances, but the way in which she galvanized so much attention on women's basketball in a way that certainly in my lifetime I've never experienced as a fan before?
Well, I think it's transcending because, like, she, even when she had tough games, she always impacted the game. And I think you can't label her as anything other than an outstanding basketball player. I mean, obviously the scoring, the shooting, the driving, the step back. I mean, whether you want to compare it to Steph Curry or Trae Young, the way that she shoots off the move, the way she gets those shots off, and all that would be good enough, except you throw out there that she led the nation in assists. And she plays with such quickness and speed. I mean, it's incredible. And for a place like the state of Iowa, that for many of us that aren't from there, some of the earliest memories of ladies basketball was like 4-on-4 in Iowa, right? Like hearing about all those different things. And so to me, it's awesome that it happened for somebody from Iowa. I'm biased because Fran McCaffrey is a friend of mine, and his son, Connor, dates Caitlin. So I hear some of those work ethic stories and playing through sickness and all the things that she does, that incredible drive, you know, which is inspiring to hear about. But I think the fact that so many great coaches, so many great players on both sides, the men's and ladies side, both have incredible respect for her, I think that says it all. I mean, she just does so many great things to impact the game, impact her teammates, and to impact winning.
Tom, one of the realities of competing in sports at the highest level, like you have done, like Caitlin Clark, like UConn and Purdue tonight, is there's only going to be one, right? Only one team is ultimately going to be champions at the end of a season. For Iowa, it's back-to-back heartbreak. One of those two men's programs tonight, obviously, are going to feel that heartbreak, even if it's UConn with their success last year. I'm sure you've been through this. At what point, if you're the Iowa men's basketball program, is there a point, Caitlin Clark, her teammates, or coach, are they able to enjoy the fact they got to back-to-back championship games? Is that a thing, or in your experience, if you get that close but you don't actually get there, does that more haunt you than become something you can cherish over the years?
Well, I think it's both. I absolutely think it's both. I think for competitors, I don't know if haunt is the right term, but it will always be there, right? Like, they will always remember that. But I think channeled correctly, that's a drive. I mean, that's something that everybody that's involved in that program will have with them forever, that there's just that little bit more of a drive because they do have, it's not regret, but they do have something that they didn't get that they really wanted. But I think at the end of the day, as they look at this and they feel the adulation from the fans and they move forward in life and they start to think about those memories and look at the tapes and look at the memories that people have for them and about them, and then especially when they start to meet total strangers that they haven't met, I think that's an inspiration that's incredible. And I think those people that have been involved in that program will have that forever, but they'll always have that competitive edge to do something again in another way. Like, if I can't see any of those people saying, hey, that's it, you know, I'm not competing anymore in life, I'm good. You know, whether it's Lisa or whether it's any of those young ladies on that team, they'll always have that edge. And that's why they got to two championship games, because they had an edge.
Yeah, it was such a fun game. Tom Crean here on the show. Tom, another thing that I talked about earlier is I have not watched women's college basketball over the course of my lifetime. And I compared it to college baseball. I went to women's college basketball games and college baseball games when I went to Missouri because I just enjoyed them. But once I became an adult and did this job, I only had so much bandwidth for so many things in my life, including things I would otherwise watch. That changed because of Caitlin Clark, but wasn't restricted to Iowa, and really became invested in a way I didn't expect in a lot of those teams. Enjoyed watching LSU play, including when they lost to Iowa. Enjoyed watching UConn play. South Carolina, what an amazing run. Can you – because my wife got unexpectedly emotional when South Carolina won that game. Can you put into perspective for folks what it is to go undefeated in a college basketball season as that team did and to be national champions, what that means, where that ranks, what level of accomplishment that is?
Well, I think from looking at it from the outside, I think when you look at this is the thing that I take from what South Carolina did, from what Juno Auriemma did, and I had a chance to see him practice back when I was at Marquette, back when they won a national championship in San Antonio, but they went through a regional in Milwaukee when I was there. So I got to see the games. I got to see them practice. I think any championship-level, undefeated-type program like that, they have such a joy of playing with each other, of being together, that it overrides the pressure. And I'm sure there is pressure. And I'm sure there's a ton of pressure. But I think the joy and the ability to do things together like that, the competing together, the living together, the being together, the traveling together, all those things that go into it, I think that joy overrides it. And then when you absolutely accomplish it, like, that's when the emotions pour out of you, like you saw with Dawn Staley yesterday. I mean, it doesn't matter, men's, women's, whatever sport. There's Mount Rushmore's that she belongs on, and it doesn't matter who else is on there. I mean, she's that good. And I don't know her. I've met her one time, but I just watch her, and it's like, it's unbelievable the level that she gets players to play at, much like Geno did, much like Pat Summitt did. It's just incredible to watch it.
Yeah, I said this earlier. We were all rooting for Iowa in my house because of where we're from, but my wife was so moved by Dawn Staley being able to talk that my wife started crying on the couch. I mean, it was a pretty amazing thing. Tom Crean here on the show. Tom, excuse me, turning our attention to tonight's game, right? We got a lot of basketball. What are the, if you're Purdue and you're trying to complete this gauntlet, what do you do tonight? What are the keys to try to beat UConn?
Well, I think the biggest key is how they play offensively, and I think they need to play more to beat UConn or to have a chance to beat UConn. I think they got to play more like they played against Tennessee. There was more movement. Zach Edey was setting more ball screens along the three-point line. There were more runouts. There were more what's called the Spain action, where there's a ball screen from Zach Edey, and then there's a back screen that starts somewhere in the lane, foul line up by either Fletcher Lawyer or Mason Gillis, that creates a screen for Edey to get into the paint. I think they have to move Donovan Klingon. I think they've got to find a way with that movement to get layups. I think Braden Smith's got to get layups. The guards, they're going to throw the ball into the post. There's no doubt about it. I can't see UConn just not coming with something different against Zach Edey, because it's just been mind-boggling to me how easy it's been for Zach Edey to score with no traffic. Like, they double early, they double late, he kicks it out for a three. he's so smart, he sees things coming. Rarely does anybody like come after him when he starts to put the ball down on the ground and go into his move. You know, they're always there after he's picked it up, or they're there on the catch, which he just toys with that. I mean, Zach Edey beats the math. You know, whatever your analytics are, he beats that. And then his analytics, his numbers are so good because he shoots 12 free throws a game on average. He gets fouled almost 10 times a game. He gets 5 offensive rebounds. So he's got all that, but they got to move them around. I think the other big thing, which is going to be an issue for Purdue, the size of those guards in the movement of those guards, if their communication defensively is not good tonight, if they're not clean on their switches, if they're not challenging shots, they'll get beat for layups. They'll get beat for threes. And I know UConn's not shooting the three very well. They're shooting like 30% in this tournament, where Purdue's shooting 39. But it doesn't matter because they just beat you with movement. So, and at the same time, it's got to go to Zach Edey, and he's got to be able to get to the foul line. I mean, he just has to. And I think those are the biggest keys to me for Purdue to have a chance to win it.
Tom Crean here on the show. Tom, obviously Edey is a totally different player than Caitlin Clark, right? I mean, the guy is an absolute beast, and Caitlin is a shooter and a creator, but they're both dominant figures on their respective teams. Caitlin, as we discussed, wasn't able to get her team over the line yesterday. Edey is amazing. They're underdogs. When you're the coach of a team that is playing an Iowa or a Purdue, and there's one player who is an overwhelming amount of what makes them successful, other than just trying to tactically take away what they do, do you change your messaging to your team? Do you focus on who might be the number two person? Is there something as a coach you might do a little differently or specifically when there's one player who's an overwhelming part of the success of the team you're up against?
Well, I think, I don't know if you change the message, but you sharpen it. And I think this is what is so crucial in it, is that you can't be in no man's land and indecisive. If you're going to go after the ball with Edey, then go after the ball. If you're not, then get back to your man, because he makes shots. You cannot give Mason Gillis, Fletcher Lawyer, open threes. But I think the biggest thing, if I'm UConn right now, and in so many ways, how do we keep making sure that rim is protected all night? Because Purdue gets more layups than people realize. And that's when they're at their best. And Braden Smith on a drive because they got a seal in the paint, or Fletcher Lawyer in movement. Obviously, Zach Edey gets layups because he gets zero-footers, he gets dunks, he gets one-footers, two-footers, all those types of things. But you've got to protect the rim tonight if you are UConn in transition, which means your guard's got to get back, because Klingon's going to be around the bucket. Your guard's got to get back and stop the early drives, because if I'm Matt Painter, I'm trying to run anytime I get an opportunity to get the ball thrown ahead and get into the break before Donovan Klingon or Samson Johnson gets back there. So I think rim protection, being decisive on if you're doubling, if you're going after the ball, or if you're not, and making sure that you're getting great challenges on the shots. And so much of that comes down to both teams. Not only will the bigs communicate well, but whose guards are going to communicate the best, especially defensively.
It's going to be a great game. Tom Crean here on the show. Tom, last one for you. Late last night, that breaking news that Cal is leaving Kentucky for Arkansas. Curious what your initial reaction, or maybe with time to ponder it, your reaction this morning is to that news.
Well, I think the biggest thing is Kentucky's a destination program. John is a destination coach. I mean, he was at Memphis and he was at Kentucky. People want to play for him. I mean, he turns pros out. He does a lot of great things. I think the bottom line is it says more about where this is all at right now in college sports. And you're going to see it with more and more athletic directors. You're seeing it with coaches, the ability to get somewhere else, you know, and to be able to do it if the numbers are right on what's being reported of what John was able to get to go to Arkansas, that kind of money, that kind of NIL money, that's an incredible thing. Because right now, when you take over a program, whether you're in football or basketball, most importantly, you've got to win first and then build your program. You know, the old days of we're going to build the program and build it up and the winning will come in, that's not flying right now, especially at the highest level. And that doesn't make it right. It just makes it reality. And so much has changed since everything, you know, went crazy in college basketball in 2017 with the FBI investigation. So many decisions were made that have impacted things like this. And I think it's not how long you are somewhere. It's can you continue to sustain whatever you've built? And I think that's hard because in this day and age, you're not getting a lot of credit for what you've built. You're getting a lot of credit or blame for what you do in that given year. And I think as we look at this world right now of college sports, in a transactional world that it is, who's got the most money or who can get more money inside it to be able to get the players? Where do you have the best chance to get that at? Those are going to be driving forces more than anything else. So surprised, probably. You know, those rumors started during the afternoon and into the evening about that. But at the end of the day, shocked? Not at all. And I think you're going to see it more and more as time goes on. I think you're going to see it in football and basketball. Because, again, here with all the TV money and all the money that's there, these buyouts don't matter. I mean, if you want to coach bad enough, you're going to bring them in. If you want to coach gone bad enough, you're going to pay them off. I mean, it's where it is now. And I think everybody's just got to hold on and watch it go and understand that the programs and schools that are there for a reason. But your coach and the players that come and go, they may not be there as long anymore. So enjoy it while you have it.
Tom, obviously there will be coaches to fill whatever vacuums exist, and there are always ambitious, driven people out there. But for a lot of human beings, when you've succeeded at something and with certain rules or certain ways of doing it, it's hard to make adjustments. What do you think, for guys that have coached, right, that have been successful at the college level, what do you think the burnout level or just the level of not liking the job compared to years past is going to be as people get ready for this transition or adjust to this transition?
Well, you better have a lot of energy, and I think that happens too. Like, there's a new energy, right? Like, John Calipari, no matter how hard he's worked, no matter what he's built, there's going to be a new energy when he goes to Arkansas. Whoever comes into Kentucky, there's going to be a new energy. At USC, right there in California with Eric Musselman, there's going to be a new energy. And I think that's part of it. You got to keep re-energizing yourself, because if you just let everything that's going on in the business just dominate you, you know, how long the hours are, how long the recruiting periods are, you know, all the money that's there, all the things you have to deal with, if you let that override you, you're going to get burnt out quick. You got to have an energy and a love for coaching. And I think that's what gets lost in so many ways right now, is people lose their love for why they got into it in the first place. So you got to keep finding ways to bring that energy back to you. And I do think there'll be burnout because people were used to doing it a certain way. But I also think there's a whole group of people, Bill, that because they don't have to deal with the schools that were buying the guys illegally and paying under the table, now that they actually have some money, I think those guys are re-energized to begin with. I think that was one of the pluses of the whole NIL world and the coaching world. You know, I think there's a lot of pluses to the NIL world all along, but with coaches, you don't have to deal. You got a chance to be on more of an even level playing field now with the people that you couldn't beat before because they had more, you know, underground money. And I think that's part of it too.
It's such a great point. Tom Crean, it is a pleasure every time I get to talk to you. Appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much. Great work over the course of this tournament, and thank you on a very busy day and a very busy time for squeezing us in.
Oh, happy to do it, Bill. It's great to talk to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.